Welcome to Decoding the Customer, a podcast about customer experience and how to realize customer-centric change in today's dynamic business world. I'm Julia Ahlfeldt, certified customer experience professional, business advisor, and your host. Thank you for joining me as we explore topics, trends, and best practices that are enabling brands to thrive in the age of the customer. Today's show is a little different. A few months ago, I was approached by Jason Bradshaw, the chief customer officer of Volkswagen Australia, about appearing as a guest on his in-house podcast for Volkswagen employees. I asked if I could pitch some questions his way during the conversation and then use the recording for my own show. So not only will you get to learn about Volkswagen's innovative employee engagement strategy, but you'll get to know a little bit more about me as well. This episode also provides a front row seat to see how two customer experience professionals go about dissecting a truly horrible car buying experience to understand what went wrong. Unfortunately, the experience under the microscope was my personal saga, and yikes, it was a doozy, so stay tuned.
Now, Julia, as I understand it, you were born in the US, worked there for some really recognizable brands, and now you're based in South Africa. Can you share with us your remarkable background, please?
Sure. Yeah. So born and raised in the United States in Oregon, which is in the Pacific Northwest. I have a degree in economics. And yeah, when I graduated from university, I started out in the strategy consulting world and just was really drawn to projects that had to do with customers and customer experience, customer satisfaction, segmentation, things like that. And through that, just got involved in this field, which is now called customer experience. After consulting, I worked in-house for a couple of different companies in the United States in the financial services sector and in retail. And then I relocated to South Africa about 8 years ago with my husband for a work opportunity that he had and have been working in the field of customer experience here in South Africa in an individual capacity as a business advisor.
Fantastic. Now, I want our audience to get to know you a little bit more. So if you're ready, I want to jump into the quick fire round. I'll ask a series of questions and you'll have just 10 seconds to answer after each one. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So what brands do you look to as examples of delivering a great customer experience?
Ooh, I think Airbnb is a great example of a brand that delivers excellent customer experience. Netflix has done a great job of delivering an excellent customer experience. Nordstrom is one of my favorite examples of a retailer in the United States that delivers excellent customer experience.
Fantastic. And I think Netflix really have led the way in making entertainment convenient for people. So great example there. What job did you learn the most in?
I think my first job out of university, actually. I think that was just probably the steepest learning curve. I had an opportunity to work for a great boutique consulting firm with lots of room to grow and tons of mentorship and support. So it was just a great training ground to learn.
Wow. Yeah, I think those first jobs are where we really get a taste for what really motivates us. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of those times in life where you learn quickly, fail fast, fail hard, and learn and get back up and keep running.
Earn those stripes, as they say. So we've all been on a journey. We're not perfect at everything. What skill do you think that maybe you're terrible at?
I'm not always great at letting things go, particularly if I'm trying to solve a problem, whether it's the broken printer or whatever thing needs to get fixed. I know that if I dive into it, I sometimes have a hard time extracting myself until I've solved the problem. So sometimes that can be a positive skill, but sometimes it can lead to staying up until 2 o'clock in the morning fighting with the color printer because it won't work.
I understand. I was asked that question recently and I said patience.
Yeah.
So what is the best advice that you've ever received?
I've received so much great advice during my career. Recently, I was speaking with somebody who I consider to be sort of a mentor, and she was reminding me that it's important to always take the high road. Even when people around you are frustrating you and you don't understand why they're doing things, and to rise above that and not allow yourself to get pulled into negativity. So keep your eye on the prize and take the high road, even if that means getting sideswiped and continuing to walk away without reacting to it.
That sounds like some great advice. What non-work related thing are you really into right now?
I think I'm always into travel. That's one of my favorite things. It's been a big part of my life ever since I was young. I recently was in the United States visiting friends and family, thinking about some upcoming travel for the holiday season in December, doing some planning around that. So yeah, that's something that I'm into right now.
Ah, fantastic. And of course, moving from the US to South Africa must have been quite a shift.
It was, absolutely.
So what do you do when you want to upskill yourself?
I turn to the web, probably. I'm a member of the CXPA, as I think you are too. You're also a CCXP. So I really love the CXPA online community, and I find there are just tons and tons of amazing resources for people who want to learn. And so I love their webinars. And if I'm looking for a case study on something, I really enjoy that as a resource. And I think in this really globally connected world that we live in, there are so many amazing resources for people who want to learn more about customer experience. And the thing about customer experience is that it's still such a relatively new field of work. So it's important for us as professionals in this field to not get complacent, but to continue learning because customers are changing.
Absolutely. So thanks for taking to the quick fire round so quickly. We're going to jump into those harder hitting questions now. But before we do so, I understand that you've recently had an experience in the automotive industry, I think buying a new car or something like that.
Yeah, I did. So being a customer experience professional, we have the benefit of working in such a cool field. I love it. But one of the downsides is that you can't unsee bad customer experiences when they happen, and you can't help yourself from dissecting them. So earlier this year, my husband and I bought a car from a well-known Japanese car brand, which shall remain unnamed to protect the innocent. You know, it was one of these almost like a comedy of errors as it evolved. We had a Volkswagen, we had a Polo, and it was getting to the end of its life. We were spending a lot on repairs, and we decided that we needed to get another car. So decided on this larger Japanese brand car and went to the dealership and really loved what we heard, especially because our previous car, we had dealt with a lot of repairs. We were told that, oh, you know, we've got a shop here in Cape Town. You don't have to worry about anything. If anything goes wrong, send it in. We'll fix it really quickly. And so that for us was great because we were looking for something that was going to be more reliable and less of a hassle for us. And so we bought this car, and about, I think, a month and a half after we bought the car, it was parked on our street, and our neighbor came home late at night, hit the side of it, and hit the wheel clean off, and took with it all the little intricate pieces that connect the wheel to the car. And then getting this car fixed was just an absolute mission. We sent it in, and then the parts had to be ordered from Japan. They took 21 working days, way more than we expected. Then the parts came in, and then they discovered that they needed more parts, and those took another 21 days. So we'd had this car for less than 2 months, and we ended up being without it for more time than we actually had it. We couldn't get updates on what was happening. We would call the dealership and say, hey, you know, what's going on? When are these parts arriving? They weren't able to give us any clarity. We just kind of were sent from pillar to post. It was so confusing. It was so frustrating. And then about 8 weeks into this whole ordeal, I had my birthday. The salesperson who had sold us the car called me to wish me a happy birthday. And I was like, really? Really? You're calling to wish me a happy birthday? And I was like, you know, I don't really want you to call me to wish me a happy birthday. I want you to call me to tell me that those car parts have arrived and the car that I've been without for longer than I've been with is ready for me to drive. Anyway, it was case in point of how it's important for businesses to understand that what they promise at the time of sale, it's important to be able to live up to that. So if you're selling somebody a car because they're looking for something with convenience and they want to make sure that repairs are easy and they've had a negative experience, just be honest with them. I mean, I think for us, if we had known that that was the case, we maybe still would have purchased the car, but we would have taken out the rental car rider on our car insurance, for example. I think when consumers have the full picture, they're able to make informed decisions, and you're less likely to have these situations where the business is unable to live up to the promise. Also, what it pointed out to me was just how important it is for different business teams to work together, to collaborate on experiences. I mean, clearly, when the car salesperson called me to wish me a happy birthday, he had no idea that we still didn't have our car. So he hadn't been talking to the person in their parts team. So it was a really negative experience. And yeah, I hope that you guys are delivering better experiences for your customers. if you have this podcast and you're focusing on customer experience and spreading the word on this, I'm sure that you guys do.
Absolutely. And I think when I was listening to your experience, you know, one of the things that came to my mind was accountability. Who's taking accountability for actually improving the life of their customers in this example? You know, yeah. By the sounds of it, if it was going to take 21 days, where was that proactivity to say, how can we make things better for you? How can we minimize the disruption to your life? Because in this instance, it was 21 days, and perhaps that was 20 days too long, but I'm sure there were ways that they could have minimized the impact to you so that you didn't have this negative memory of your experience and so early on in your ownership.
Yeah, and it really damaged my relationship with this particular brand. My very first car was a car from this brand, and I was excited to return to the brand. I had been a brand advocate, and this experience totally tarnished my personal relationship with this brand. I'll probably never buy another car from this brand again. And in fact, after we got the car back, all of our friends knew what had happened. And for the 2 months that the car was gone, people would ask, and we'd give them the updates. So we were vocal detractors of the experience. It was a massive inconvenience for us. And we just felt like the brand didn't care. There was absolutely no effort made to even acknowledge that it was an inconvenience for us or to try to make amends. I get a little riled up even thinking about it.
Look, I think the clear takeout for us is just don't get tied up in the process. Just put the customer ahead of that process. And I'm sure if the dealership had provided you with a loan vehicle during that period, well, you'd still be unhappy that it was taking 21 days. You wouldn't be telling the story now that, you know, for 21 days or longer, in fact, your entire lives were disrupted, and not just your life, but the life of your partners as well. So some great lessons there. And I wasn't going to ask, but after hearing the story, I have to ask, were you asked to complete a survey about your experience at the end of that period?
No, not at the end of that period. We were asked to complete a survey from the salesperson, and it was a phone survey. But shortly after this experience started, we stopped getting calls to take that survey. So I don't know. I don't know if there was some sort of correlation there. And I think that the challenge there too is that the survey was about the salesperson, and the sales experience itself was not necessarily unpleasant. I mean, the fact that we weren't given full information was unpleasant, but the sales experience itself wasn't unpleasant. And I think that's one of the challenges. Oftentimes businesses will try and do surveys at like a particular point along the journey and measure that and then extrapolate on top of that the customer's overall relationship with the brand. But you can't do that, because the customer's overall relationship with the brand is what are their experiences throughout their journey, not just that sales experience. It's the sales experience and the follow-up.
And that's one of the reasons why we make sure that we ask for customers to provide feedback at every touch point with us, because it's not great if we're perfect at sales, but we're terrible at everything else, because everything else after the sales is what impacts your desire to talk positively or otherwise about us. So
yeah,
really great to hear that you think it's important that people measure the service that they're delivering at multiple touch points, not just at a particular touch point. And of course,
it's crucial
that you connect what's going on today with the wider business. So I think a really important question that I've been asked often during my career, and something that, you know, I certainly like to make clear when I'm leading a customer and employee experience strategy, is simply, what is customer experience? So Julia, when someone talks customer experience to you, how do you define it? What is customer experience?
I like to think of customer experience as all the ways in which a consumer interfaces with a brand. So it's all of the interactions, including price, the products they interact with, the communication that they get through different channels, customer service, I think, is a piece of this, their overall brand affinity. It's all of these things, all of these different interactions that a customer or consumer has with a brand, bringing those things together. Because you can have a positive experience from a service perspective that the rest of the experience isn't great. For example, in the experience that we just spoke about, the car salesperson called me after the fact to wish me a happy birthday. And that in and of itself was a nice service gesture. But the rest of the experience was just so fundamentally broken that it didn't matter that service wasn't going to make up for this really horrible broken experience. And I see that happen a lot. My bank, for example, they've got a great service. The branch team is on it. But when I go in, the systems are down half the time and there's a massive queue to do stuff. And the underlying experience, the systems and the processes and all that stuff, it's just not really doing them any favors. And they're attempting to coat that experience in smiles and friendliness, but it's kind of like putting lipstick on a pig. You know, it's just, it's not working.
Yeah, it sounds like the sum of the memories that each of those touch points create is the experience. It was certainly the experience that you talk about.
Exactly. And the memories, I think, are what drive the loyalty. So there's the experience, and then there's your personal individual takeaways from that experience, which is something that is so individual. The memories that I take from an experience will be different than the memories that you take from an experience. And it's those memories that then create loyalty.
Absolutely. And many people say that we're in the age of the customer. So what do you think three challenges are that are facing businesses today as we live through this age of the customer?
I think one of the main challenges that businesses are facing is this democratization of customer feedback. So the fact that customers now have a tiny megaphone in their pocket, if we can call smartphones that, consumers have access to review sites to look up information on brands and glean insights from other people's experiences. So experiences are now something that it's not just about you and your relationship with the brand. You now have the ability to share that with the whole world if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's really holding brands to account.
How do you think that businesses can overcome that megaphone in the pocket challenge or opportunity, in fact? Because of course, if they get it right, if individuals get that experience right, that megaphone turns into, you know, the loudest form of positive word of mouth that there ever has been.
Yeah, I think it's really about delivering great experiences so that when the megaphone is turned on, people are being promoters of the brand. And you're never going to be able to get it right 100% of the time. And there's always going to be negative feedback out there. But I think if brands can deliver great experiences, they don't need to be afraid of social media. And then also social media presents this amazing opportunity to learn about customers and learn about what they want and to hear feedback from their voice. Through social media, they're really telling you what they see as important.
So I think one of the keys to a great customer experience is consistency. Building trust with customers that they can rely on you to be consistent in their experience. Not super amazing today and average tomorrow, but just consistent, whatever that is, but consistent at it. So with all the businesses that you've worked in and the work that you do today, working with companies to help them improve their customer experiences, what do you think are a couple of the keys to really delivering a great customer experience?
I agree with you. Consistency is something that's so important. I think it's better to deliver a 7 out of 10 experience across the journey than it is to deliver an experience that is a 10 out of 10 and then a 2 out of 10 and then a 4 out of 10. It just becomes confusing for the consumer. I think living up to your promise, so connecting the dots between what the marketing team is saying and what the brand is actually able to deliver through operations and sales, is really, really important, because when you have that disconnect, can create lots and lots of problems, as it did for me. And then I think customers are looking for experiences that are easy and seamless, especially with younger consumers, those who sort of raised during the age of technology, have a lot less patience for arduous experiences that have lots of duplication of effort. We live in this age where we have these smartphones, which are amazing and super intuitive, and we're starting to have those kinds of expectations for other experiences too. We want everything to be easy and seamless.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking at our data internally, we've identified that our workforce is getting younger. Our team members out there in dealerships are getting younger. Meanwhile, our customers are getting older. So there's a real challenge for us as the next generation of customers, the younger customers, start coming through our dealerships and engaging with our brand. You've shared already that removing duplication of effort or unnecessary effort is a key for the next generation of customers. But what's some other insights you have to that younger customer, that next generation, as you call it?
I think for the next generation of customers, they're just much more connected. And I think relying a lot on the wisdom of the crowd. So relying on feedback from friends and family, I think that they're in general more skeptical of messaging that they see as coming from the man, quote unquote, and more interested in relying on feedback that they can get from their peers. So that's something that I think is just going to elevate the importance of this democratized customer feedback. When you have gaps between the workforce and customers, it's just important to create empathy to help bridge that. So if you have a younger workforce, but older customers, understanding who are those older customers, what are their needs, and helping people understand and empathize with that so they can continue to deliver great experiences.
Absolutely. I agree. It's not about the customer and the employee being of the same demographic, but the team member having the right skills and approach to be able to communicate effectively with whoever's in front of them.
What are some of the things that you guys are doing to bridge that gap?
So we have been investing really heavily in our training programs, really focused on making sure more and more of our team members are certified through our training programs, because there's a large portion of that which is focused on communication skills. How do you talk the language of the person that you're serving? And we're actually in the process in the remaining time of this year in piloting a number of other communication techniques and training programs. Because of course, if someone goes off to training, it doesn't matter what the topic is, it's actually putting those skills into practice and reinforcing those skills. So we've got a number of pilots happening later in the year where we're doing some intensive training specifically around the topic of communication. And it's about making sure people understand those verbal and non-verbal cues and the nuances of them so they can actually help customers achieve success. And that success is different for everyone. So how do you ask the right questions so that you can turn your knowledge in our products into information and insights that really helps that customer achieve what they're looking to achieve, regardless of their demographic or their age profile?
I'm finding this quite interesting because in South Africa, there are 11 national languages. It's a wonderfully diverse country, but this comes with some challenges for delivering customer experiences because sometimes you've got somebody who's providing a service who doesn't speak the same language sort of literally and figuratively as the person they are serving or the customer that they're working with. And not only do you have communication misfires, but you have cultural misfires all the time. So what might be accepted as polite in one culture is considered rude in another. So there are all of these opportunities to rub people the wrong way. So it's interesting to hear how you guys have done this specifically with the communication skills. I think there's some interesting lessons that probably a lot of South African businesses could take from that.
In a previous life, I had some operations that spanned Asia, the Oceania region, and also North America. And we would have team members based in the Philippines, for example, serving customers in New Zealand and Australia, as well as the US. And we had to spend a lot of time actually not only training the differences, you know, the cultural differences, but reinforcing it, because it's so easy for people to forget, because sometimes the cultures are quite similar, but it's the small things that are different that make the biggest impact at times. So I think when it comes to communication and cultural differences, we always have to have our antennas up, our radars on for being focused on those nuances so that we are respectful and always taking the approach of being helpful as opposed to just following a process.
I think that in general, consumers are very forgiving of things too. If they know that you're trying, if they know that you're trying and it comes from a place of goodness and you're making an effort, I think that people are quite forgiving, even if there's a cultural misstep or you do something that might be seen as slightly offensive in their culture. If they can see that your heart is in the right place, I think oftentimes they'll give you the benefit of the doubt, but it's demonstrating that you care.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It all comes down to that intent and that genuine desire to improve their lives.
And that's something that you can't fake. It has to be quite authentic. This podcast, I think, is such an interesting initiative. How did you guys decide to start this in-house podcast?
Well, of course, there's a global phenomenon that podcasts are capturing the attention of every demographic. It's one of the fastest growing, shall we say, media platforms that there are. And when we were considering, do we do a podcast or not, the question that I asked was, why not? Because every opportunity that we get to connect with one of our team members internally to reinforce key messages or share new ideas and concepts on how to tackle a problem or improve the experience of our team members or our customers is absolutely vital. And if you look at all the research about how people learn, of course, there are people that want a textbook and want to read it from cover to cover. There's other people that want to go to something that's interactive, and there's other people that learn through listening. It's why classrooms have whiteboards and someone that actually speaks and textbooks. You've got to be able to connect with people on multiple levels. And so that's really one of the key drivers around why we do this podcast, is to connect with people that are looking to improve the experience of our customers, but they're looking to do it in a way that's convenient to them in terms of getting that knowledge. And most of our team members travel 30 minutes or longer to get to their place of work every day. So we keep the podcast around that 30 to 40 minute mark. It's bite-sized information. And of course, not everyone in the network listens to it. That's okay, because, you know, we have other ways to connect with those individuals as well. And it comes back down to that communication that we were talking about earlier.
It sounds like you guys have done a really nice job of understanding your end user and building solutions around the end user. If your team members oftentimes travel to work, this is a really nice way for them to be able to catch up on things in their own time. And how does it fit into your broader employee engagement strategy?
For us, it's just a small jigsaw in that employee experience piece. So we have a number of touch point opportunities for team members in dealerships, which are not technically our employees. They work for those independent franchise dealerships. But our team members provide us with feedback regularly, and we use that to inform our training programs, for example. So we've just recently, over the last 8 months, completely revamped our training programs so that they're much more interactive, much more balanced in terms of theory and doing, so that they actually can practice what they're learning on the spot and get back and implement and embed it into their daily lives. You know, we have a whole conference series that we do each year throughout key milestones in the year. And all of this is about partnering with our employees and our team members in dealerships to really help them be more successful. And our employee experience strategy is focused on making it a great place for people to work, but in doing so, helping our individuals become more successful from a career perspective, but also in terms of serving the needs of our customers. So for us, we see that customer and employee experience piece to be completely linked.
I would imagine that you've probably had to work very closely with your HR team to link the customer journey and the employee journey and build a strategy for that.
Absolutely. So if we work hand in hand with our HR colleagues for our Volkswagen employees in head office, and then we partner with our dealer partners across the nation and make sure they have feedback opportunities. We have a dealer advisory committee that provides feedback on our ideas and concepts so that we are truly working together as opposed to just coming up with an idea and going forth. I think any transformation program has to be one of partnership.
For sure. That's a core design thinking principle too, is you launch something, you identify the need, and you pinpoint that, and then you prototype things, and then you have to panel beat, so to speak, and continue to refine things. And how do you do that? You gather feedback from your stakeholders to understand how it needs to be refined and how it can better meet the needs of the end user. That's really cool. Would you have any tips or advice for a customer experience professional who is thinking about or has been tasked with looking into employee engagement strategy?
For me, the best advice that I can give someone that's on their customer experience strategy journey is don't get distracted from action. And what I mean by that is it's so easy to say, have you journey mapped every single part of the customer's journey? Has everyone gone off and become a CXPA member? Which, by the way, I think is great, but there are so many different elements that can constantly distract people from actually getting started. And so my advice is actually identify what customer feedback you have today already in your hands. And from that feedback, find the top three things that are really causing your customers to sing about your organization, you know, really praise your organization, and then see if those same three things are the things that your customers complain about the most. Because generally, what I believe is that the things that delight customers are also those things that absolutely annoy them when you get it wrong. In your example you shared earlier with us, if you're going to say that you're going to fix the vehicle in 5 days, then take 5 days. And when you deliver 5 days, or you know, hopefully in 4 days or 4.5 days, you're delighted. But when they do the opposite of that, of course you're going to be completely the opposite. And so I always say learning and doing customer journey mapping, design thinking, all of that stuff is important. But you've got to get started with getting things improving, because you have to be able to prove that there's a real business impact to what you're doing. It can't just be giving people a big hug. It has to actually deliver results. And your customers are already telling you, whether you get 100 surveys or 1,000 surveys or hundreds of thousands of surveys, your customers are already telling you what they love and what you should be focusing on.
Also, when you get distracted by all of the noise, all the things you could be doing, it can create an opportunity for people to get really overwhelmed and intimidated by customer experience too. Because when you start sort of unpacking it, customer experience is everything. You know, it can be really, really overwhelming and intimidating if you look at it that way. Whereas if you start biting things off in chunks and understanding using the data that you have and then understanding where maybe there are some blind spots, it becomes much more manageable.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying don't use journey mapping tools, but don't try to journey map every step of the way. Journey map to help solve a particular problem, not try and fix everything in one go.
Exactly. And journey mapping is not process mapping. Process mapping is where you're trying to document the intricacies of a process. But journey mapping is about understanding the customer's overall series of experiences that they have as they're trying to fill a need that they have. And you don't have to take that to the umpteenth level of detail. In fact, it's oftentimes not useful if you do that.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
I guess one last question from my side. Thanks for letting me pitch some questions back at you. You asked me about my professional background and how I got into customer experience. Do you want to take this full circle and you can tell me how you got into customer experience?
Well, at the age of 14, I started my very first business selling computer and telecommunications equipment. And when I was interviewed by some Australian business magazines and a current affairs shows, I said that the thing that was going to be different about my business to everyone else was the service that I was delivering. Now, at 14, that was, you know, as advanced as I was in terms of customer experience. But of course, experience starts with the service that you deliver. And really, from that moment, I have always found myself in positions by design that have been about improving the lives of our customers and employees. You know, I worked for the New South Wales government for a period of time and I was in a transformation role. My role was about how do we put the people of New South Wales back into government. And I think naturally I gravitated towards customer and employee experience. It certainly wasn't called that. You know, at 14, I called it customer service. But in all of my operational roles, I've been able to deliver on the core commercial KPIs, those core commercial necessities, by focusing on delivering for our customers and our employees. I've never had the situation where after I've led a team for a period of time, where staying back for 5 minutes to solve a customer problem was even a question that I needed to ask, because we created a culture that was focused on customers. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to sharing some of my journey and some of my thoughts and how I've changed some organizations that I've worked in a book that I've got coming out later. And I really do think that while customer experience is still a relatively new profession, it's one that's going to endure the test of time, because I can't see future generations giving up their voice.
No, definitely not. No, it's only going to continue to accelerate, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I find a lot of people that I speak with find customer experience almost as a vocation. It's a calling that is more than just a job. It's an easy thing to rally behind because it truly is purpose-driven work. I mean, who doesn't want to treat customers better and deliver better experiences? Because we all love it when we have those great customer experiences. And as it turns out, this is something that also is crucially important for the business bottom line too.
Absolutely. And I do get frustrated, though, where CX professionals don't realize that there needs to be that commercial element to it as well, because that's the sustainability piece. Anything that we do in business has to be, even if you're a not-for-profit, okay, you're not trying to improve the lives of your customers or members of your not-for-profit necessarily. You're not trying to make more profit, but you do need to be able to sustain your organization. You know, there's nothing wrong with making money. It's the way you go about achieving those commercial outcomes should, in my opinion, be in a way that improves the lives of your customers and makes it a place that your employees want to get up for every day and turn up. I'm very lucky. Every single day I wake up, I want to go to work. I want to make a difference. And it's not about being perfect by any stretch of imagination, but even those little blimps in the road are worth it because I genuinely love what I do and who I work for. And that's what, as an experienced management professional, I think that's when you're really delivering value, when you can create that sense in others.
Yeah. And it's interesting you talk about demonstrating business value. So in South Africa last month, we had a conference. It's one of the bigger customer experience gatherings in Southern Africa during the course of the year. And Diane Majors, who's the CEO of the CXPA, our professional association, came out for the conference and gave the keynote opening talk. And she spoke about delivering business value. And she was really frank with everybody in saying, it's great. Customer experience has really gained a lot of traction. But if we want this to be something that endures the test of time, that really makes a difference, that is more than a business fad and a buzzword, we can make customer experience truly happen. We need to do a better job as customer experience professionals of speaking the business language, demonstrating the business value, because otherwise it will be regarded as fluffy stuff. And I think part of that conversation is taking it from a view of customer service, which is easy for business leaders to think of as the fluffy stuff and a cost center, to customer experience, which is something that we can measure. We understand the elements that go into it. And it's something that we can tie to loyalty, and we can tie loyalty to customer lifetime value, and we can demonstrate real tangible benefits to the bottom line, and then help business leaders turn around to shareholders and say, right, this is something that we really need to focus on. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the buck stops with the board. And we want brands to be able to invest in customer experience, then we as customer experience professionals need to help make that case.
And importantly, be seen as partners in the business, not just this nice to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. And before we let you go, I'm just wondering whether there's a book on customer and employee experience that you've read recently that you would like to recommend to our listeners.
Not one that I've necessarily read recently, but anybody who hasn't read Gene Bliss's Chief Customer Officer 2.0 should definitely read that one. I think that is the natural starting place, I think, for anybody who's interested in customer experience. That's one gobs of people that you've asked this question to have probably mention that book, but I think it's a really good one.
It's a fantastic book. And of course, Gene has really pioneered the professionalization of customer experience. So thanks very much to Gene. And thanks for recommending that book, because it is always good to be reminded of it.
I think when you guys first reached out to me about doing this podcast, we got connected on LinkedIn. And I think I saw on LinkedIn that you got to go hang out with her in the US. Is that right?
Yeah, so we actually brought Jean to Australia. She spent some time at one of our national events with our leadership and managers from across the nation. And we've done some work with her in the US. And Jean and I also got to speak at an event together in Las Vegas. And Jean's a great friend, and very fortunate to be able to call her that.
That's awesome. So then it sounds like all of the stuff in her book is going to be old news for your team members, but I suppose it never hurts to refresh those core tenets and fundamentals of customer experience.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, we've got new team members from time to time as well. So it's always good to take the opportunity to remind ourselves. Great. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having your time today, Julia, and I appreciate that it's an early start for you. If you're ever in Australia, please do look us up, and we'd love to host you and have an opportunity to learn more from your great work.
I'll definitely do that. This has been a really fun conversation. It's always great to connect with somebody else who's dedicated to customer experience.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Julia.
Thanks. Thank you for listening to this episode of Decoding the Customer. Personally, I love podcasts. I'm an avid listener, and this was my original motivation for creating my own show. It's great to see that teams like Jason's are leveraging an in-house podcast as part of their strategy to educate and rally teams around the customer. Since you're listening to one right now, I probably don't need to sell you on the countless wonders of podcasts. But it's great to think about the possibilities for this medium as a learning tool in the business space. Speaking of which, if you have suggestions, requests for future episodes, or questions about how I can help your business in its customer-centric journey, please get in touch. I have some exciting things in the works, which I'll be sharing in an upcoming show, and I'm always looking for ways to improve the program for you, my listener. My contact details are on my website, julia-alfelt.com, and you can reach me through LinkedIn or Twitter. My handle is @JuliaAlfelt.